This is Twit.
They just say June for lossless, right? They didn't say when in June, like early June, late June. Maybe
they
June
said June
7th?
For spatial audio, and then, oh, by the way, nerds, here's your lossless. Doesn't mean anything to us, but fine, be happy with it. And then the world exploded. So now I think they're busy reassessing all this stuff.
Oh, really?
They put out a tech support note on a Sunday.
They thought the surround sound was going to be the selling point.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Apple engineers have been saying this is stupid. Don't do this for a decade. Like, you can hear the old iTunes engineers. They put out white papers saying, you know, at a certain level, at a certain age, like the level of human hearing, if you're sending this over wireless, like, this is just nonsense. It's pure marketing BS. But then every company started doing it. And I guess they said you have to do it too. And they're like, okay, we'll have eight paragraphs on how amazing spatial audio is. And then at the very bottom, we'll say, here, nerds, here's your lossless that I know you're going to pump over Bluetooth anyway. But they didn't put any work. Like, they didn't explain any of it because they didn't care about it. And then it just came back and bit them for a week until they got the tech support article up like 2 days ago.
So are they right? Is it unimportant?
High-res audio is nonsense. I think you'll find almost every engineer explain that high-res audio is nonsense, but everybody is doing it, so they did it. Lossless audio is debatable. Some people say they can hear it. Other people can't. Some people say
CD
vacuum
quality.
Tubes and vinyl are great.
Like, I'm not going to go that far, but I do want CD quality. That seems
No, but the problem was they said no. They didn't explain why. Like, they said no, it's only wired, and they didn't explain that currently all of Apple's headphones use a very lossy Bluetooth codec, that it makes zero sense sending a lossless signal over. And they didn't have a wire that was ready for it. They didn't have a new codec that was ready for it that would make it less lossy. Still lossy because still Bluetooth. And then it just became a nightmare of bad messaging and doom, was it rage baiting on the internet?
Yeah. Well, a lot of that was justified. When you charge $550 for a pair of headphones and you say, no, by the way, you will never be able to get uncompressed audio with it. And that's, I don't think it's, I don't think it's a, it's hoodoo that lossless is better quality than compressed. Depends on the audio quality. Depends on how it was mastered. Depends on the source of the audio, of course. But that is one thing where that's table stakes. You absolutely have to be able to provide lossless audio. But one of the things that I've been over the three different times on three different radio shows, I've had to explain is that when the recording industry came up with the CD audio format, they absolutely knew what they were doing. This is lossless audio, and they developed an audio format that would exceed human hearing enough that nobody would be able to tell the difference between this and the source material, you know, digital arguments notwithstanding. So therefore, anything that is CD quality, it's almost impossible to improve upon that. So absolutely, it's no good for people to argue that you need to have high-res audio to be truly audiophile. But this is, I don't think that Apple should be railed over the coals for this, but they have to take their lumps that I have a $550 pair of headphones that can't even pass through like plain copper audio I don't trust my own ears because, again, I'm not 22 years old, and I was perhaps not quite as safe with my hearing protection as I was as a lad. But when I listen to audio engineers talk about it, they do talk about how for $550 you can get so much better quality audio, so long as you don't value spatial audio, of course. Most of the reviews that I've seen that compare on an audiophile basis don't seem to absolutely love the Apple's $550 option, and that could be something they could have mitigated a little bit by simply saying, hey, if you don't like the Apple wiffle dust, we can just simply give you a really good reproduction of whatever signal you pump into it via copper.
Yeah, they made a couple big mistakes there. Like, one was that the cable they sold initially was not good. Like, it doesn't give you anything. It can't even transit lossless audio, and if there's one way you want to transit lossless audio,
why can't it?
A cable. The other,
why can't because it? I don't understand.
So the problem with the AirPods, and I'm saying problem in quotes, is that Apple designed them for a Bluetooth world. Like, the whole goal of those products was to take crappy Bluetooth audio and make it sound amazing. Like, they weren't imagined for a lossless world. When, like, HomePod is going to get lossless because that uses Wi-Fi and they can send a lot of signal over Wi-Fi. But Bluetooth is just the data, it doesn't have the capacity for it.
But I'm using a copper cable. Why, if I buy that?
Because
cable,
it's a really low quality. It's not designed. they need to make a better cable and then firmware update.
Could they do that?
Which I'm sure they're going to do. They just didn't have it ready.
There are some rumors that they're going
to
try to make these work with lossless. But that's
the other part that I hate, that the part that really bothers me, and I don't know if Andy feels the same, is then you have the higher level audio files going, oh, your $500 HomePod. I spent $500 for my cable. You're not listening to anything but garbage on those. If you don't have $10,000 headphones, why are you even complaining?
That's nonsense. That's nonsense.
I'm with you on. I'm sorry, Alex. I'll answer this quickly. I'm absolutely with you on that. But the difference, though, that is that they. I think that Apple is definitely trying to sell a high-end consumer headphone as opposed to a mid-range or low-end audiophile thing. So it's kind of. I'm also bummed out that the reason why it has these limitations is. As far as Apple has been forced to testify thus far, just a matter of dogma that everyone uses wireless, but nobody uses cables anymore. Nobody wants cables anymore.
And they don't talk to each other. The teams don't talk to each other. It's frustrating.
And the other thing is that, okay, so if you really are investing in a wireless, the convenience of wireless, look at what Sony did with their 1000s, which is it's made out of plastic, which means it's lightweight. It folds up into a nice compact little package. It comes with a really nice case. You can toss it in your backpack. So here's our wireless future. Here is a completely metal pair of headphones that is going to be painful to wear for 3 or 4 hours a day. It doesn't fold really neatly. The only case we're going to give you is, again, this foundational support garment that sort of protects, that basically the only thing it does is put it to sleep. And otherwise, you're going to get all that nice metal scratched up. It's one of those Apple devices that I wish that the engineers would have a really good, just honest conversation about. Here is what our philosophy was behind it, because I don't understand what their inspiration board looked like when they were designing these.
A lot of times we have to think, I mean, again, what will 90% of the people do 90% of the time? When we think about a good product development in general, you know, for whatever your target is, but also, you know, for Apple, so like the kids that could hear the lossless are listening to MP3s, you know, or worse.
Yeah.
You know, and so the thing is they don't have any sense of what they're listening to for the most part. Yeah, there are some. There's always some of something, 1% or 0.5% or 0.1% that are actually listening to it. The folks that are talking about lossless most of the time can't hear it, can't hear the difference between lossless and 320, you know, and so, you know, or can't hear it very well, especially in the environment that they're listening to, you know. So we have to remember that, you know, when you talk about lossless, you're talking about a pristine environment, you know, maybe not an anechoic chamber, but you're thinking about something that's really quiet before you can start hearing the difference between all of those things. And yes, some people have that. Almost nobody, but not nobody. Like, there are people out there that can listen to that, but you have to have an entire environment around you. And I grew up as an audiophile. I mean, I spent insane amounts of money on stuff that didn't matter. That's what you do, you know?
Is that the definition of audiophile?
Yeah. I'm a recovering audiophile. I mean, I remember back in the day, we used to take Sharpies and we'd run a Sharpie around the outside of the CD to keep the light from
An audiophile. It was a green Sharpie. Only the green Sharpie.
It was a green Sharpie. So the thing is, I've lived that life, and I'm just saying that it's the thing that is going to be the big thing, and we kind of passed by it. We're like, you know, if you think spatial is a thing, spatial is going to be the thing. Like, spatial is going to be a massive thing.
I
listen to a lot of spatial, and I work on spatial.
There's some confusion between what Apple's calling spatial and 3D sound. So I think only Renee Ritchie knows. So I'm going to ask you, Renee. But when you first explained spatial to me, you said it's not what you think it is. It's the TV's there, and you turn your head. The sound continues to come from the TV.
There's two kinds.
So that was spatial audio in the first instance, yes?
No, the first instance, that they call that spatial audio with dynamic head tracking.
Okay.
So that's like the superset of spatial. Spatial audio by itself is a 3D sound stage. It's their generic name for Dolby Atmos. If they have Dolby Atmos, they'll just use that.
So
if they don't, they'll computationally produce
Is mixed that way, and then, you know, there have been like Quadrophenia, the Who had a joystick, and they would make the music go around in the auditorium. There was quad sound for a long time. That was kind of silly, went away. And then we've had SACD and DVD audio with surround. Movies are routinely mixed that way, but music is not routinely mixed that way.
Well, it's not routinely.
Now, yeah.
But it's been picking up speed, and what it's been waiting for is a distribution pipeline that would actually support it at mass. And that's what we now have. You know, and so, that's why what they did is so important, is because Apple opened up a gate. Because before that,
the volume Apple can do is huge. Yeah, the scale.
Yeah, before all you had was Tidal.
And Dolby, by the way, had a headphone surround system. Remember, mm-hmm. Alex, we recorded MacBreak Weekly 23 in surround, but they never shipped it in the U.S. Nobody had it. And
it was a reference. It was a reference to figure it out. I mean, I don't think it was designed to be the mass market tool. I think it was a...
My concern is the market has rejected this every single time. I mean, we've tried this for years.
Yeah, Apple's a huge scale, though. They're really good at priming a market.
Okay.
I mean,
if I had a choice between lossless audio... I have some very fine headphones. It cost me a lot of money, and I could listen to lossless audio through my Apple TV, for instance.
Right.
But they don't do spatial. Although, wasn't there... There is a standard for binaural audio that does this. That's not the Apple standard.
Give you two examples?
Which would I prefer?
It's
lossless audio or
spatial?
The easiest example I can give you is, like, if you're on a web browser and you're looking at a JPEG versus a TIFF, you know, you're probably not going to see too much difference. And if you're trying to push raw video over the internet compared to MP4, you're probably not going to have a good experience.
Every bit of audio and video you see on the net is compressed.
With the spatial audio, people are like 80%, no, actually 90% of people are going to put this on and suddenly feel like they're in a movie theater or a concert hall and go, wow, I've never heard anything like this before. The lossless audio is like going from 16K to 17K on your 1080p TV.
Well,
for most people.
And I would even say that it's, I mean, for someone who works in this and you listen to it all the time and you get used to it, the quality, the lossless is like having a black and white image that is a TIFF or a JPEG, and then the spatial is adding color to that, black and white image, because it is so much different than what you're looking at. And the thing is that when you really listen to these, and I've had the opportunity to listen in theaters that have, 80 speakers, that can do that stuff. But also our home one has, and I have 7.1 at home, right? And so when you start listening to those in those spaces, even in a home theater that has enough to have some surround, or in the AirPod Pros, it's the difference. You know, a lot of times when you're listening to music, it's in your head, right? You feel like you can hear it on either ear and it's in your head. Spatial is you're in a space. So your head is in a space, as opposed to the music being in your head. And so it pushes it all out. And suddenly you're able to hear it all around you rather than feeling like it's just bouncing around inside your head. And that's why it's so much different than mono. Like, the difference between stereo and spatial is 10 times the difference between mono and stereo, when you start to listen to it and you start understanding it and you start really hearing it, and part of it has to do with a well-designed spatial, because the spatial designer has to create the space.
Yeah, because when I'm at a concert, all the music's coming from in front of me, unless I happen to be playing in the band.
Well, and now they're, I mean, when you see a concert that's been done in spatial, it is, I've seen a lot of those, I would never go back to it. I mean, unless I was front 20, if you gave me one of the front 20 rows in the center,
right,
with a backstage pass, I'd go.